When I left country school, I came up here to Petersburg to high school, and it was about a 4-mile walk, and I made it. Walked it.
You walked it.
I walked, and there was only one or two houses along the road. It was a lonely road. And the teachers were very good to me because they knew that I had to come so far. And very seldom are they ever. We had one old car, and my father worked in Toledo. And of course, he drove the car.
Where at did he work?
Toledo.
Uh-huh.
And I had to walk most of the time, rain, shine, or what have you. And time I'd get to school, in the wintertime, I'd be about frozen, and the teachers were very kind to me. Elizabeth Crosby, who was known all over Michigan as one of the bright people, I guess you'd call them. She taught in the University of Michigan at Ann Arbor, and had a doctor's degree, and she was teaching up here. And they really were kind to me. They'd give me hot cocoa when I got to school and helped me to get warmed up, because that was a walk.
Yeah.
And nobody along the road, not a soul. There was one house that was way back off of the road and another house that was up close to the road, but I didn't know either family.
Where did you live?
Pardon?
Where did you live?
I lived out on Todd Road. Todd Road, and that was about the walk. It was about 4 miles to school. Mm-hmm. And the first year after I graduated from the eighth grade, my mother wouldn't let me come to school because I was only 13 years old. And she wouldn't let me come up to school. I had to wait another year, so I went back to the country school, and I helped that teacher the whole year. It was a man teacher, and I helped with the kindergarten and different things, you know, that he let me do. So the next year, then I was 14, then my mother gave her consent to let me come up here to school. So then I came to Petersburg for 4 years and graduated. Graduated in 1918. And I went to summer school in Ypsilanti, and I took a correspondence course from Michigan State. And the next year then, I got a temporary license to teach after I graduated from high school.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, and I taught then. And I taught for 9 years in one school, DLN school.
Uh-huh, where was that at? In Petersburg?
The high school?
Uh-huh.
It's down, do you know where St. Anthony is today?
Yeah.
Well, it was right there, that school on Summerfield Road. Mm-hmm. That was right near St. Anthony. That's where I had 72 pupils through the winter months. And I had 21, they called them beginners in those days. Mm-hmm. They were kindergarten. And there was no room for seats, so the school board had two little tables built that held 10 kids each, one on one side and one on the other side of my desk. And that's where those little kids sat. And we had a stove, a big old furnace up in the corner of the room, right in the corner, and then the desk was here, and over here was the piano and the bookcases and things, and you can imagine how crowded we were.
Yeah.
No, we had to carry water in a pail, drink out of a pail, and go outdoors to an outdoors toilet. There was no indoor toilet or anything. One year, while I was teaching up there, well, I guess we had 2 years, we had hot lunches. We had an oil stove, a three-burner oil stove. Have you ever been in a one-room school?
No.
Well, most of them were built the same way. You come in the back door, and there's a cook room here and a cook room there, one for girls and one for the boys, and where they kept their dinner pails. Of course, everybody brought their dinner, you know, in a sack or a pail, always in a pail or a box or something. And so many of the kids, their parents worked in Toledo and they didn't get a good breakfast. So we had hot cocoa, we had hot tomato soup, we cooked rice and things like that, and we had hot lunches. And some of the eighth grade girls, we'd have their classes first so they could go back in those rooms and get the stuff ready. And each one had their own bowl and their silverware, and they'd bring it out and dish out the stuff and set it on the desk, and the kids would have hot lunches. And chiefly it was hot cocoa or rice or tomato soup or something that the parents would help furnish, you know, and send things in.
Something to warm them up.
Yes, we had you had no supervisor on the playground. You did all that yourself. You built the furnace fire if you couldn't find a janitor. Uh-huh. You had to keep all that going. What would the teachers do today? They had to build their own fire and sweep their room and dust and everything. What would they do?
Good thing it's not like that today.
No, I don't think they would like that. I don't believe they would. But that's what we had to do. And you know, the salary, the first year I taught, I got $80 a month. Mm-hmm. How does that strike you? The most I ever got was, I think, $150 a month. I taught up at Livonia. That's a town out of Detroit, a little ways. It's a big town now.
Yeah.
But when I taught there, it was just a country store. A woman by the name of Idy Stringer, I can never forget her name, had a country store, and you know, they had everything in it, from soup to nuts. You couldn't think of anything that Idy didn't have. That and a house, place where they voted, and the schoolhouse, and the cemetery, and that's all there was of Livonia. Now today it's thousands and thousands of people live at Livonia. Of course, that's been good many years ago,
yeah.
70 years ago almost.
So it sounds young.
A long time ago. Yeah. Becky, would you give me a Kleenex right over there on that stand, on that? Can you see one sticking up there? I thought I had one in my pocket, but I must have lost it. Thanks. I need it. Yeah, and then I taught it 9 years. 9 years at that one school,
mm-hmm.
D-Land.
Uh-huh.
And then I taught, I taught in Deerfield for 4 months. And I had hired a man teacher, and he came on Labor Day, and he was drunk. And they kicked him out right away. They wouldn't let him stay at all. And the man that was the head of the school board there knew that I had taught school, and we lived in Deerfield at that time.
Uh-huh.
And he came down and wanted to know if I would help out till they could find a teacher. So I didn't want to, but I said yes, I would. So I was there about 4 months till they found another teacher. It was I think 4th, 5th, and 6th grade that I taught there in Deerfield. Then I taught over by Sylvania, Columbia School, just before you go into Sylvania. It was called Columbia School. I was there a year. Then I was up, there was a school on Hogle, on Summerfield Road, called the Hogle School. And I taught there a couple years. So I kind of moved around, but there was all country schools, all but Deerfield.
Uh-huh.
Deerfield wasn't a country school. The rest of them were all one room.
One room, yeah.
One room school.
Where you had to light the fire.
Yeah, yes. Do the janitor work, do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent any kind of child to school, no matter whether he was handicapped. We had one there at D-Land. His name was Buck, Eben Buck. And why, today they wouldn't no more think of letting that child in a schoolroom than anything. He never could talk, write, He couldn't even write his name. He never learned a thing, not a thing. But they sent him every day. And the kids would tease him, the others, you know, how they would with somebody like that.
Yeah.
And he'd just pick up anything and hit him with a ball bat or a club or anything he had. And Eben came to school every day. Mm. Every day. He was about, when he started there, I suppose he was 7 years old, maybe. And he was still there when I left. And I didn't go back anymore. I often wonder what happened to him. But they wouldn't no more think of putting a child like that in school today.
No, they wouldn't.
And it wasn't fair to him or to the rest of the kids or anybody, because he caused a lot of disturbance. He had an awful temper. And of course the kids teased him all the time. They'd take things away from him and tease him, and then he'd get mad and he'd just fly into him like a wild Indian. Mm-hmm. I often wonder what ever happened to Eben Buck. He had two sisters that came to school. I can't think of their name. They weren't Bucks, they were Baldos. I think he was from another set of family, I don't know. Sandy, hey, go on over there in your chair. Go on and get in your chair. Go on, hurry up. He isn't hurrying very fast,
no,
is he?
Just take his time.
Go on, get in your chair. You going?
Yep. Oh, he's just looking at his chair now.
Get up in there. Hurry up.
There he goes.
Yeah. My hands are getting paralyzed. The fingers, they feel just dead and numb and dumb. A lot of times I pick up things and it drops right out of my hands. They don't hold on very good. How's your dad's knees coming? Is he still suffering with them?
Yeah, he's going better, you know.
Does he ever think of having them operated on?
I don't know what he's going to do.
Sometimes it helps and sometimes it don't.
Yeah. Well, the doctor said he was too young to doctor said he was too young to have knee replacements.
Oh, he's too young.
Yeah.
And I'm too old.
Oh.
And what is the right age?
Yeah.
Becky, I don't know where you're going to go. She's going to be taller than you, Jennifer, you know?
Yeah.
How old are you now, Becky?
12.
Are you? You're going to be tall. That's the kind of girl that tall girls can wear pretty suits. Do you know what? They look real nice when they get those clothes on. I had two nieces that were tall, slender. And they always look so nice. One of them was Alice Hoffman, the other was Eleanor Winter. And they always look so nice in their clothes. They were tall and slender, and looked so nice in suits. Yeah. Say, Carol Jean says you brought in the most beautiful basket.
Yeah, we bought it.
She says, I'm going to try to save it for Easter. She said, it's so beautiful. I'm going to keep it out where it's cool and see if I can keep it till Easter. Hmm. You know, she just told me this morning it was so pretty. She was
here. We went out last night and got them for her and took them over there. So.
She said it was beautiful. Yeah. When we were teenager, Gertrude and I, my sister, we were only 16 months difference in our ages, and we never got out a great deal. We never went a whole lot. I don't know what we did for pastime, really. I don't. Hmm. I know I helped with chores, because my brother Harold and Frank were both. Frank was 12 years younger than I was, and Harold was 6 years younger than I was. So I helped with the chores and milking, things like that, till they got big enough to do. But we didn't have the things to do that teenagers have today. I know that. We didn't think about that. I don't think kids thought about going any places those days. You had no way to go. We didn't have a car till we were, I don't know how old. The first car we had was a Buick. And Harold must have been 16 years old, because he had a driver's permit. He could drive with his, when his folks was with him.
Uh-huh.
And one time, I'll have to tell you this, my father never could remember directions, and we were going down to Toledo, to Walbridge Park. Have you ever been to Walbridge Park in Toledo?
No.
No? Well, that's quite a place, and that was where we used to think. We went to Walbridge Park, we was really going some place. And so we were going down there. I think it was Sunday. I don't remember what day it was anymore. But Harold was driving, and my father sat in the front seat, and he was telling where to go. And my mother said, "I don't think we're on the right street." "Oh, yes," my father said, "yes, we are." And we drove up in front of a place. It was a big building, and he says, "Here we are." And it was a state hospital. It wasn't Walbridge Park at all.
Oh, gosh.
We had to get back in the car and go on and find Walbridge Park. I've never forgotten about it. But Harold, I know he could die. Kenny was born just shortly after Harold died, wasn't he?
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Yeah. You know, Harold was buried, I think, the 1st of March.
Yeah.
Or 3rd or something like that, and Kenny was born the 17th. You know?
Hmm.
So you never knew, neither one of you ever knew your grandparents, did you?
No. What was that, Walbridge Park?
Pardon?
What was that, Walbridge Park?
Oh, they had all kinds of rides, merry-go-rounds, and things like that, and animals.
So it was like an amusement park?
Yes, it was an amusement
uh-huh.
park. Yeah, it was an amusement park. Yeah. And at that time, it was about the only one in Toledo that was, and it was a beautiful place. They had a place that they raised different kinds of flowers. I remember I saw the first banana tree there at Walbridge Park in the conservatory. And they had bananas on, and I couldn't believe that bananas grew up like that on that on that bush. It was almost, wasn't a big tree.
Hmm.
You know, Walbridge Park, when you got to go there, you was really going places.
What kind of rides did they have?
Pardon?
What kind of rides did they have?
Oh, I don't think they had much more than merry-go-rounds at that time.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember being on, but I imagine now they've got all of those high-rise, you know, things. I imagine they have. I don't know. It's been a good many years.
Huh.
But there was tables for picnics, and it was quite a pretty place. They had all kinds of flowers, and they had animals. They have now all kinds of animals. I see sometimes where they show some of them on television, the newborn at Walbridge Park.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mother probably knows more about that. I know your dad probably has been there too a lot of times.
Yeah.
What size shoes do you wear, Becky? 12? Oh. Got a good understanding, haven't you? You're not going to tip over. No, sir, I'm telling you, it's awful. I wouldn't have known that kid.
Yeah, she's grown a lot.
Well, she shot right up this winter, hasn't she? Must have grown about 6 inches this winter. And her hair's getting a little bit lighter. And I don't know, she's getting prettier all the time.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be a nice-looking young lady, I'll tell you. I hope you're just as nice as you look. That's the main thing. That's what I think about Kenny. I'm so happy that he don't carouse around. He says he liked working for the city better than he does over there.
Yeah, he does.
But he don't like, he likes his wages over there.
That's and, for sure.
And insurance and all those things that he gets, he likes that. But he liked up working up here. Did the Sillies have their house decorated this year for Christmas?
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
That was always so pretty, wasn't it?
Yeah. Lois made them decorate it.
How long has she been sick? How many years?
4 years ago they first found cancer. She's been off and on since.
And she's had surgery?
Surgery, yeah. It started out with in her ovaries. They took that out. She had a hysterectomy.
That cancer is terrible, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems that with all the money that's spent for research, they ought to find something, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
But they have nothing. They don't know what causes it, and they don't know how to cure it.
Yeah.
Carol Jean's got to get a new car.
Yeah, that's what she was saying. She was showing us her book yesterday.
Yeah. Well, that car is 12 years old or better. We bought it in 82. So I suppose it isn't too safe anymore.
No. I know how my car is. Mine's getting old.
Is it getting old too?
Yeah, mine was an 85, so I think next fall I'm going to get a new one.
Yeah. Did they buy that new...
The Blazer?
Yeah.
Yep, they bought that. I got it in December.
Oh.
So, yeah, sits in the garage. Dad's afraid to take it anywhere, so...
So you know that directory. I just got it yesterday. And there's a lot of people in there. Carol Jean laughs at me. She says, Mom, you haven't seen those people for 3 or 4 years, and they're getting old too. Why, a lot of them, if they didn't have their names on it, I wouldn't know who they were.
Yeah.
Did you know, do you think they're good pictures?
No, we weren't satisfied with them, with ours.
That one of Carol Jean is terrible, I think. I don't like it at all. She's got another one that was taken the time before that I like a lot better. But I just looked at some of those pictures. She just brought it down to me yesterday. And if there wasn't names in it, I wouldn't know who they were.
Now, how long have you been going to this church?
Pardon?
How long have you been a member of the church?
Oh, I went there when I was in high school. I had a friend that lived uptown where Tom Paroli lives now. They lived there, and she was my very dear friend. And I used to stay there quite a lot, and I used to go to churches there. Well, that's when I was 14, 15 years old. Well, then we joined. We lived out on the farm. Oh, I've been a member of that church for probably 55 years.
Hmm.
Because we lived out on the farm when we joined.
Uh-huh.
Because the minister's name was Stubbs, and he came out to see us about joining the church. Coming in for instructions, Frank, because Frank was raised Lutheran.
Yeah.
And we lived on the farm because Frank was out in the barn and he went out there to talk to him. So I know it's all, because we've lived here 50 years.
Yeah.
And we lived in Deerfield 7 years. So it was when we lived on the farm when we both joined. Yeah. No, I've looked some of these over, and as I say, if there wasn't names on it, I wouldn't have known them at all. I wouldn't have known them. County school commissioner, I guess. And he visited us once in a while to see how we was doing. And we had to keep a record every day of the grades, you know, and everything on a big sheet, and that we had to send in to be checked at the Monroe at this county commissioner's to see what we was doing, but they didn't keep very good check on me, I don't think, on the teachers. I didn't think they did. But if any child was in trouble and you notified their parents, the parents came and I never had a parent that was upset or anything. They were right ready to help. It was a lot different than it is today.
Yeah.
You don't, and if a child needed a whack on the behind, he got it, and the teachers never was held up for that or anything. You had to have discipline in a room full of kids, 50, 60, 70 kids in a room. What could you do if they acted like they do now? What would they do?
I don't know. They can't spank them anymore, though.
No, they don't dare to even shake them, do they?
No.
When I went up to Livonia to teach, they had had trouble the year before. The kids had locked the teacher in the woodshed. Locked her in there for the whole day. And when time to go home, the kids went home and told her parents that the teacher had been locked in the woodshed.
Uh-huh.
And my uncle up in Livonia was on the school board, and he came down and he said, would you like another job? We'll pay you well. I think they paid me $150 or $180 a month. And I had 54 youngsters there. And some of them were kids that were in, had been in trouble in Detroit and was in a, I don't know, what would you call place where they send them?
Like a youth center?
Something like that. Anyhow, these people around the school where I taught were truck gardeners, and they'd get these 14 or 15 year old boys to come out and work in that truck garden, but they had to send them to school. So you know what kind of material I had. Some that had been arrested for this and that and the other thing. I remember one, his name was Stack, Tony Stack, and they were great big 17, 18 year old kids, some of them. And I thought, oh my, what will I do if he don't obey? But I didn't have too much trouble with him. He was pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of dealings you had up there. But I wasn't locked in the woodshed.
That's good.
No, I didn't ever lock me in the woodshed. They wanted me to stay, but my mother was sick. And I came home to be home. My mother wasn't well. She had Parkinson's disease. Too bad. So I came home the next year. I only stayed 1 year. That was something. And you think about the things that the help that the teachers have today.
Yeah, they have teachers.
All that material that they have on these copying machines and everything. I could write all that by hand, you know. Do all that by hand. I had nothing to do that stuff on. Or questions for exams or anything like that. All that I had to do at night, work till 11, 12 o'clock at night to get things ready for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of how easy they have it today, they don't do any of that, do they?
No.
That's all. It's all written for them. They have all kinds of things to copy things off.
And yeah, a lot easier today.
Yeah. I don't know. And the salaries they get today, I think most of them get around 26,000, don't they? Something like that.
Yeah. Yes. It depends on where you teach.
Yeah. And they never thought of it. Think of hot lunches, would they?
No, we have cafeterias for that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Do they have good food at the cafeteria? No.
Oh.
What's wrong with it, Becky?
It's not that bad. It's mostly like frozen stuff that they prepare. You know?
Oh.
Oh, they don't use it
that
much.
Same thing. You don't have a choice, or do you have a choice?
Yeah, they get choices.
What is that? Is the snack bar?
Yeah. And how much do you have to pay?
$1.20.
Do you?
Well, you get just a little tiny bit of food and then like some fries or something, I don't know.
Do they have cooks that fix it there or not?
Or yeah, they have cooks.
Yeah, that's a difference from what we had in when we went to school. There was nothing like that up here. I went to the old school upstairs. Did you ever see a picture of the old school?
No.
Well, it was a great big wide staircase, and the high school was upstairs, and the other middle school was down below. And that's when it was an old school before this other one was built.
Yeah.
There was two kids from our school out in the country that took the eighth grade examination. You had to take that examination before you could go to high school, before you could get in up here. And there was one other girl, Emma, that took that. We were the only two that ever went up to high school.
Huh. Yeah. Just two of you. They stayed and worked on farms and stuff? Did the men stay and work on farms? The farms around, or?
I'll tell you, they used to send boys to school in the winter time when they was 18, 19 years old, grown up men. But when it was time for them to work on the farm, they didn't have to go to school.
Yeah.
But they'd go through the winter months when they couldn't work on the farm.
Yeah.
And those boys at that age, the things they would do. I remember we had a man teacher out, I don't know why, his name was Frank Logan, and they didn't like him for some reason. I suppose because he made them straighten up a little bit.
Yeah.
And they would play the awfulest tricks on him. We had an old stove. It was like box, like about that wide and long. And they put wood in it. Of course, there's wood they burned all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Put long pieces of wood in it. And they'd throw something on that stove top that would smell. And we'd all have to go out of the schoolroom till they cleared out the air, by opened the windows and things like that. And one time, they put a pail of water up on the door where they knew he was coming in, and they pumped it up there, and when he pushed the door open, that'd come right down all over him.
Aww.
Oh, when you think of the things that those boys would do. Yeah, I often think about that. They just played all kinds of tricks on the teacher. But I remember this Frank Logan was from Petersburg, I think. And they used to throw sulfur on the stove or anything, pepper, anything that would smell, you know. And
yeah.
Then they'd have a hot fire and that would get them going good. And then we'd have to go out of the room. Everybody had to leave the room till they opened the windows. Cleared it out, so you know how much schooling they got.
Yeah, not very much.
And they had a kind of a stand about as big as this that had a big dictionary in it, and that you could fold up and cover it up, and the two or three would start for that dictionary at the same time, and then they'd stand. I can see that so plain. I think how those teachers put up with them. They'd stand in the aisle and they'd argue. Well, I started first. No, you didn't. I want to look up such and such a word. And they'd argue for a half hour at a time which one was to get up that dictionary first. Now you can see how much schooling we got. That was some of the things that went on all the time in a country school.
Did you have a large class?
Pardon?
A large class.
Oh, yes. 8, 10, 12 in the classes, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that one year. I had 21 beginners. I remember that.
Yeah.
I know that. Some of the kids were in the eighth grade, we had generally had about six or eight in for eighth graders, and you had to see that they were prepared enough to pass the examination or they couldn't get into high school. Yeah. But I think kids like to study better, or at least they didn't have so many other irons in the fire. That I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.